and I was going on this flight, and I get upgraded. Woohoo! A1, first seat on the plane. Brilliant, fantastic. So I'm looking out the window and enjoying it all. And the guy comes and he walks up and down. He's starting to give out the meal. When I say meal, the meal really was like cold sandwiches. But hey, it's food. I don't get a cold sandwich. What? Like, what am I, chopped liver? Hi, and welcome. There's 66 books that make up the canon of the Bible. One of them has a very strange name. Well, a few of them have strange names. But one of them is called Thessalonians. You could forgive me if I thought earlier on in my following of Jesus that Thessalonians was actually the Silonians. Because it's written like that, right? The Silonians. But it's Thessalonians. A man named Paul, the Apostle Paul, Saint Paul, is the reputed author of this by the scholars. They say that he wrote this to a group of people in a town called Thessalonica, which is in Greece, which is probably why it's hard to say. And so he wrote this, and it's probably one of the earliest letters that he wrote to the different churches, which is quite interesting, really. Now, in this book, he covers a vast amount of material, even though it's a small book. In 1 Thessalonians is actually only 5 chapters long. And he covers a vast amount of stuff, even in the last chapter, from verse 1 to 28 of the last chapter. He covers a huge amount of stuff in here, which is quite strange. Like, literally goes from childbirth to breaking and entering, to warning against being lazy, to being patient and with everybody. Like he's all over the map. He talks about the second coming of Jesus, where everybody will be caught up to meet him in the clouds, and doesn't explain what any of this means. He just writes it. But I want us to look at just one particular thing that's talked about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So if you turn there to check that I'm not lying, all right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we'll start reading at verse 14. So I'll give you a chance to get there. Oh, that's good. So this is what it says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14, or we'll read to the end of 18, because that's where I want us to stop. Brothers and sisters, so that's pretty much everybody, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. I love the phrasing of that, tender care. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. Ooh. That's a tough one. I am not patient at the best of times. I'm trying to be, and I'm becoming more patient in my life, but it's a tough one, right? See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Now listen to these, because this is some strange instructions. 3 strange instructions. Always be joyful. Sounds a little bit fake, doesn't it, that? Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Again, difficult to do. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Oh, dear. Always be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. Wow. Oh, like, really? Like, really? I mean, it's sort of in the theme of the weekend, really, right? But really, does he actually mean this? Always be thankful. Always be thankful. Now you can look at this and think, okay, well, you're St. Paul, right? You're an apostle. Of course, you're famous. You're treated well wherever you go. You're privileged. But actually, he's not. You see, this guy has been beaten with rods. He's been given 39 lashes of a Roman whip up to three or four times in his life. So his back has been torn to pieces with scars. He's been imprisoned in the darkest prisons. He's had his feet in stocks. He's been shipwrecked two or three times. He's been bitten by a snake. I mean, like, all of this stuff is going on in this guy's life. And he's saying, be thankful in all circumstances. This is not just some privileged guy born with a silver spoon in his mouth who's saying this. This is a guy who's had a rough upbringing, who's been chased from place to place to place. And like I said, had all this bad stuff happened to him, and he's still saying, be thankful in all circumstances. Well, I want to listen to somebody like that. If they've been through all that and they're still saying that we should be thankful, and he's encouraging me to be thankful and you to be thankful and all of us to be thankful, then I want to know how you can go through multiple shipwrecks and multiple beatings to be hungry, to be cold, to be thirsty, to be without and in plenty and still be thankful in all those circumstances. Because I don't know if you've noticed, but in the West, we live in this sort of like entitled, privileged existence where very few people are actually thankful. Very few are thankful. And here, Paul is saying, be thankful. And it's not the first time that he says it. If you go all the way back to another book that he wrote, he starts off by saying, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. If you want to know where this is written, it's in Ephesians chapter 5. So there's two chapter 5s. And verse 18, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Well, that's pretty good advice. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now listen to what he says. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs amongst yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks for everything. Everything. Now, and again, when you realize where he is when he writes that, he's in a Roman prison. He's not staying at the Fairmont in Vancouver, overlooking the harbour and Stanley Park. He's in a Roman prison, and he's writing this, saying, have spiritual songs, sing hymns and spiritual songs in your heart to God, and be thankful in everything. Again, I want to listen to somebody like this. This is not just a theory to this guy. This is a way that he survives the trials of life. It's amazing. And you know, Jesus did this too. He didn't just say to do it. He did it. In fact, this same writer talks about Jesus doing it. Now, in 1 Corinthians, another book in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it talks about when Jesus is with his disciples and they're about to have the Last Supper. You know, the picture, everybody's sitting in a row and he's going to hand out the bread and the wine. And he's going to hand it out to them. And it says this, Paul writes this. And so he says this, I received from the Lord and I also pass on to you. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and gave thanks. And then he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and said, this is my body, eat. Now listen, Paul wasn't there. So he's not saying that he received this physically from Jesus. He's saying this is passed on to him spiritually. This is a spiritual thing that Jesus has passed on to the Apostle Paul. And he's saying in the same way that he's received it spiritually, he wants to pass it on to us spiritually. So Paul is saying, hey, listen, you may not receive this physically from Jesus, but listen, this is something you receive spiritually from him. Now, Jesus gave thanks. as he broke bread, and he gave it to the person that's going to betray him. Now, you've got to think about this. Jesus knows exactly what's going to happen to him. He knows what it means. And still, beforehand, he gives thanks. And most times that I do communion or the Lord's Supper, whatever you like to call it, or Eucharist, whatever you like to call it, I stop when I say those words and say, he gave thanks. I don't understand that. How he could look at what's about to happen to him and give thanks anyway, knowing that the traitor is sitting right there. Right there. And he still gives thanks. Like, I want to listen to this. I want to understand why this is so important. You know, not long ago, I was on a plane, which is unusual at the moment to be on a plane. And I was going on this flight and I get upgraded. Woohoo! I got upgraded. Look, here, ticket. So I'm not lying, right? A1. A1. First seat on the plane. I got upgraded to seat A1. Brilliant. Fantastic. I'm sitting there enjoying this big seat, just sitting there, just free upgrade. And as we're going through the flight, we take off. I'm always fascinated by the physics of takeoff. So I'm looking out the window and enjoying it all. And then we sit back and the guy comes and he walks up and down. And he's starting to give out the meal. Like when I say meal, all right, it was a shortish flight. So the meal really was like cold sandwiches. But hey, it's food, right? And I was hungry. So he starts to give out the food. Well, he comes out of the little area because I'm right there. A1, baby, right there. First seat. He comes out and he walks past me with this tray with a cloth over it with sandwiches on it. And he gives it to the person sitting a little bit further back in business class. And then he comes back, he gets another tray and he goes, and he does this to all the different people that sit in business class. All except me. A1. A1. Me. I don't get a cold sandwich. I don't get a sandwich. And I'm sitting there. And I say, excuse me. And he came and he stood and he said, I'm very sorry, sir, but the caterers at the airport didn't put on enough meals for everybody to get one. So I'm really sorry, sir. I was, what? Like, what am I, chopped liver? You know, and during the rest of the flight, that's all I'm thinking about. I didn't get a sandwich. I didn't get a sandwich. 1C, I'm 1A, A1. 1C turns to me and says, I'd write a letter of complaint. That's what I'd do. If that was me, I'd write a letter of complaint. And I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, you know, I should complain. I should complain about this. Let's recap this for a moment, shall we? I've got a free upgrade. Free. I've got two checked bags that I don't have to pay for because I'm in business. I don't have to pay for them because I'm in business class. I'm sitting there in this big, fat, wide leatherette chair. Just sitting there. I've got coffee. I've got pretzels. And I know they're just pretzels, but they're free. They're pretzels. And I've got a Kit Kat bar. I like Kit Kats, right? I like chocolate. So I like Kit Kats. And I've got all this. But, you know, all I can think about is my sandwichlessness. That's all I can think of. And all the stuff that I've been given. I'm flying at 35,000 feet, doing over 640 kilometres an hour. And I'm sitting down in a chair, drinking coffee. 150 years ago, that's not even on anybody's physical realm of possibility to do. In fact, flying at 35,000 feet at 640 kilometers an hour was only possible if you're a Greek mythological figure, right? And I'm sitting there and it's free. And I robbed of all the joy of that because I haven't got a sandwich. I'm not thankful for the stuff I have got because I've missed out on this one thing. This one simple thing I've missed out on. And it robs me of all the joy that should be associated with the position that I find myself in. You know, I meet people often that have this a similar thing. And Jesus, before all this stuff happens to him, he's careful to give thanks. Careful to give thanks. And he gives thanks and he means it. It's not just I'm giving thanks. No, he actually means it and he gives thanks. Why is that important? Well, like I said, because if we don't remember to give thanks, we get robbed of the joy of everything we do have. You know, I watch kids at Christmas. I watched our own kids at Christmas. I watched my grandkids at Christmas. I love it. It's great. We have a tradition. We all sit around. I stick on this dumb Santa hat. In fact, there's probably one around here somewhere under my desk. I sit on this dumb Santa hat and I give out presents. They're not from me. I tell them it's not from me. It's from other people. And I give them out to them. And I've noticed something. They grab the presents and they run back to their mum or their dad and they tear the present open, look at it, give it to them, and then they come back for another one. And I mean, like, bless them. It's great to watch the excitement. But it's almost like the thankfulness is gradually seeping out. See, they're not taking time to be thankful for what they're holding in their hand. They're just rushing back to the tree to get something more. And so they're just not enjoying what they've got in their hand. Now, we're asked here to be thankful. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. Like, when somebody comes up to me and asks, what's God's will for me? Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. His will for every human being is for us to be thankful in all the circumstances we face, so that we can fully enjoy him and also realize that some unpleasant circumstances are passing. They're passing. They're not where we're going to stay. We're moving past them, through them. David the psalmist in Psalm 23 says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's a journey through. We're not staying there. It's a through journey. Even when we die, we don't stay there. It's a through journey. And the thankfulness that we carry can carry us through incredibly tough, hard circumstances. They really can. Now, sitting in seat 1A and not getting a sandwich is not tough. It's not tough. But I still lost the joy of the moment. Crucifixion and being whipped half to death is not easy. And going into it and going through it, Jesus still gave thanks. Now, here's an exercise for us. How about we look for ways to be thankful. How about that? Do you know something? The USA, Thanksgiving is way bigger than it is in Canada. It's actually non-existent in the UK. I don't know if it's because we're not very thankful or what it is, but we don't do Thanksgiving in the UK. In North America, we do. And in Canada, we celebrate Thanksgiving earlier than the US. It's probably because we're further north, and harvest generally comes earlier the further north you are than in the south. They have a later harvest down there because the weather's different. We celebrated Thanksgiving in Canada 43 years before they started doing it in the States. Do you know that? In Canada, we celebrated it 43 years before they celebrated it in Plymouth in the United States. How about we start celebrating thankfulness, not on one Thanksgiving weekend, one Thanksgiving day, but we went out of our way to be thankful in loads of different circumstances. How about we set ourselves a task to deliberately go out of our way to thank people for stuff they're doing? Thank the people who are wiping down the carts in the shop, in the supermarket. Thank the people who are standing there with a stop-go sign as you drive past. Don't just drive past staring at them thinking, you kept me waiting. How about we say, well, we thank them. Just wave, hey, thanks. Why don't we start being thankful? Oh, God, make us more thankful. Wouldn't it be cool if we were known as thankful people? When we tip, tip well. Let's be thankful. If we can afford to, let's tip well. And be thankful in every single circumstance. Now, again, as I often say, I don't know the circumstances you're facing today. But in fairness, you don't know the circumstances I'm facing either. And you don't know the circumstances we've been living through in the last few weeks and months. You have no idea. And I don't know about yours either. But how about we decide that we're going to be thankful for it right now? And we make up our mind that we're going to go out of our way to be thankful during the coming days and weeks, not just one weekend a year. Hey, now there's a thought, right? Hey, thanks. Thanks for listening. Bless you and stay safe, and hope to see you at church if you're comfortable coming. We wear masks when we sing, and they're spread out in between the pews. We've got lots and lots of room. Be great to see you. Bless you and stay safe.